Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, I pray that the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Relationships broken and restored. Bad things done, and in return, not vengeance, but forgiveness and blessing. At the start of this short series on a long story, the story of Joseph, Mark, our curate, told us that in the Old Testament, we often find pictures, patterns, pointing forward to the New Testament. Characters and happenings which are as pre-echoes of Jesus Christ and the good news which he came to bring and to be. These pictures, pre-echoes, patterns are partial. Jesus, the sinless Son of God. Joseph was neither of those things. But Jesus said in John chapter 5 that the scriptures, by which he meant what we have as our Old Testament, the scriptures spoke about him. And Joseph speaks to us of a greater than Joseph, Jesus, and this sermon aims to reflect on that. Here is a summary, necessarily shortened and simplified, of the Joseph story so far. Joseph, Jacob's son, the 11th of 12, and Jacob's favourite. Jacob made for him a special coat, though technicolour or otherwise is unclear. Joseph the dreamer. Dreams which seem to speak of Joseph's authority over his brothers. They became jealous of Joseph. Joseph, the object of his brother's plot. A murderous plot. The brothers reined back from the ultimate of murder, and instead, after casting him into a pit, sold Joseph to a travelling company of Midianites. The price? 20 pieces of silver. Those Midianites in turn sold him in Egypt to Potiphar, Pharaoh's official. Joseph, blessed by God in Egypt, Potiphar trusting and promoting Joseph. But then Joseph accused falsely by Potiphar's wife of rape. The truth was that she was angry at her lack of success in persuading him to sleep with her. And so Joseph was cast into an Egyptian prison. Joseph prospered even in prison, was given responsibility, and then accurately explains the dreams of his fellow prisoners, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker. Then Joseph, summoned by Pharaoh himself to interpret Pharaoh's own dreams. 7 cows, sleek and fat, followed by 7 ugly and gaunt. 7 ears of corn, healthy and good, followed by 7 thin and scorched. Joseph's message to Pharaoh, to adopt something said in our country's own political life several years ago now, Pharaoh, you must mend the roof while the sun is shining. There will be 7 years of famine. So prepare for those years of famine in the next 7 years of plenty by storing grain ready to meet the famine. Joseph, his insight and wisdom, saves the day, and word reached Jacob and Joseph's family, his brothers, back in Canaan, the land of Canaan also affected by this great famine. "There's corn in Egypt," they heard. And the brothers, minus Benjamin, go to Egypt, where in charge of selling grain is Joseph. So the brothers meet Joseph. They have no idea who it is, but Joseph recognizes them. But he does not, at this stage, make himself known to them. And then chapters 22 to 24, just before this morning's reading, recount in detail to-ing and fro-ing between Egypt and Canaan, and events involving individual brothers. To try to summarise this detail would take too long in this context. And here in chapter 45, the brothers have travelled a second time to Egypt for grain. And Joseph, who has wept privately before, weeps loudly and makes himself known to his brothers. Joseph's words in chapter 45 and verses 4 and 8. Joseph says, "Come close to me. I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt." And "it was not you who sent me here, but God." The brothers had hated Joseph, treating him as an enemy, plotting against him, casting him into darkness and selling him into slavery. Joseph recognized his brothers long before this open recognition, and he loved them. And he now shows them who he truly is and weeps over them. In all this, Joseph sees and assures his brothers of God's sovereign, good and loving purposes, which were being, even through human wickedness, worked out and fulfilled. About 1800 years later, a greater than Joseph, Jesus Christ, God's Son, prayed in Gethsemane. The plots against him, against Jesus, were coming to their conclusion. The shadow of a cross was long. Joseph's brothers reined back from murder. For Jesus, God's Son, there was no reining back. And yet these plots, intended by people for evil, were in God's merciful purposes for the redemption and life of the world, for us and for our salvation. Christ's sufferings were for the forgiveness of the very human race which crucified him, the Lord of glory. In Gethsemane, Jesus, overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death, prayed, "Abba, Father, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will." Not very many years later, the young church and young Christians at Rome received a letter from Paul. And in the letter to the Romans, chapter 5 and verses 6 to 8, Paul writes this: "When we were powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. God demonstrates his love for us in this: while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Pictures, patterns, pre-echoes. The brothers hated Joseph and acted in evil towards him. A greater than Joseph, God's Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, Jesus nailed to a cross. Joseph yet loved his brothers, weeping over them and drawing them back into friendship and family relationship. Even as Jesus died, he prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Joseph, thrown into a pit and sold into slavery, evil done to him by his brothers. Jesus, put to death by the wickedness of men, yet dying for that very wickedness, for sinners. His death, the source of life for all who will cling to him in faith. "Come close to me," said Joseph to his brothers. "I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt." Who was it who sold Jesus? Who was it who nailed him to a cross? The sin was ours, and it was us. Stuart Townend expresses it like this in his song, "How Deep the Father's Love for Us." "Behold the man upon the cross, my sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished." So let us come close in faith to a greater than Joseph, to our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the one we crucified, yet whose death was for us sinners, the one whose death brings to us forgiveness and life with God. And let us love him, our crucified and risen Saviour. Let us love him in response to his great love for us. Amen.